flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 on the FM side. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, and you can listen to us on the free Odyssey app all across the country. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. Coming up at 8:25, we'll check in with Doc Walker for our colleague check-in. But joining us right now on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's John Keim. Hey, John.
John, are you there? I thought I punched him up. Hey, there he is. Hey, John.
Hey. Hey, John. Guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, before we dive deeper, I'll put you on the spot. One word to capture this season.
I'm saying, let's see. I have a couple come to mind, but remarkable. I'm trying to think of a word where whatever word means to bring joy back to this area, and I don't know what word that would
rejuvenate,
be right now.
Rejuvenated, maybe?
Yeah, rejuvenated. First, reawakening.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and I just because, you know, whatever happened yesterday, that was, you know, the Eagles are really good. You go in that game, they're a better team. You had a chance. It didn't go your way. It was an ugly game. But this season, like watching the fan base over the last few weeks get re-energized, there's another one, just by this team. And then to have all the wins they had and the quarterback they have, it's a reawakening because, like, people came back into the fold, and you know it would take a lot to get people back, and that's what they delivered. So
John, we did a watch party out in Ashburn yesterday at Honor Brewing, and something that struck me was, like, when we would go out 5, 10, 15 years ago, like, people would always be wearing, like, Joe Theismann jerseys or Riggins jerseys or, like, older jerseys. Like, I didn't see a lot of that yesterday. I saw a lot of either current jerseys or just random Commanders gear. It wasn't like people were just trying to hold on to something from the past. Like, they're embracing the newness of it. You know what I mean?
Like, I saw a lot of new gear in the area too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also, I think, you know how it is too. Like, there, you'd get a guy here and then it would go wrong. And so you know, or you didn't trust that it would go right. And I think, you know, between like McLaurin, Daniels, you have Samuelsville guy. You have guys that, you know, who are players that you want to root for, and who could be here for a while. And I think it's just they want. I've always gotten the feeling, like, you know, from fans on social media or people that you meet in the community, like, they didn't want to leave being a fan of this franchise. They felt forced out. And I think people have been looking for a way back in, because look at how much fun it was for this area when the fan base and everybody. It was fun for me when this team was playing like that and winning like that. And so I think that's part of it too. Like you're embracing where they are now, finally. Yes.
All right, so let's get into the game. Obviously, turnovers, the biggest factor in the game. But I've mentioned this a few times. I think some of the themes we talked about week after week showed up. Can't stop the run.
Yep.
I mean,
it starts there.
We talked about it. It seemed like almost every week, can't stop the run. And it seems like they have some personnel where you would think they would be able to stop the run. Could you put your finger on why they couldn't stop the run well this year?
I mean, it usually, if it's a season-long thing, it's more than just, you know, a few spots. But I think you could look at it's a hard one, because sometimes you think, well, you know, Bobby Wagner and Luva are really good linebackers. Mm-hmm. And then you got these two defensive tackles who, while they are, you know, they didn't play at an all-pro level or Pro Bowl level, but they're still solid NFL defensive tackles. And you have parts. But I also think sometimes, like, you know, you look at, you know, you got to set the edge better. But then some games you're doing that, and then you're not getting there. And so I think it's just a variety of factors. So I don't know that there's one thing you can really point to alone. I think personnel, you always want to improve, and I think they can. But it's not like it's bad personnel, right? You know what I mean? I think there's some times where, you know, you're trying to make a play, and maybe you go duck under a guy and do, you know, instead of taking a head on, and that leads to a big gap. But that doesn't explain everything. It was a lot of things that felt like with that. But I do think you've got to have some very consistent edge setters with guys who also, and I'm not putting it all on the ends either, by the way, but like, I think one of the things, you know, to get a guys who are, you know, equal threats, run, pass. And I think they have some who can do both, you know, do one, do the other. I mean, you know, but I think like Dorrance Armstrong, I think, was solid all year. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's a multitude of things. And in terms of, like, if people wonder about scheme, like, I don't know that I could really say that. It's not something I've heard from outside, but I think it's something that, you know, you need to explore. You need to explore everything, because it didn't work all year. And then, you know, and it's I mean, it's just
done.
Like even on the Barkley touchdown, I think Fowler kind of gets tripped up. I think he reads the play right, tries to spin out, but then he gets tripped up. And if he doesn't get tripped up coming over, he may have filled that hole. Mm-hmm. He may have been there, but he wasn't. But he read it right. And then you miss the mm-hmm. tackle, then you take a bet.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's just, there were a multitude of things each time.
I don't even really need to talk about the game, because we saw what happened. It's fine. It is what it is. But I'm more curious about just like as we move forward, because when JP went around and asked us like what word would you use to describe, he said magical. And I thought there was some magical elements. But to me, magical connotates you win a championship. So for me, it was more like super exciting. But then I could also put a negative connotation on it too. Maybe fluky. You will win some of those games down the stretch that you might not win next year. So whatever. It's a good team, and they got a great quarterback. It's a good foundation. Right. What I'm interested in is, though, what really I thought made this team special was the blend of veterans and young players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those veterans, though, like Bobby Wagner clearly was a massive contributor, but he also clearly has limitations. Can they afford to bring him back? I think locker room wise, absolutely, and even certainly makes plays. But I want more sideline to sideline. And then like a guy like Ertz, he looked rejuvenated yesterday. But by and large, he would catch it and fall down. I mean, are those two guys in particular? We know the back of the roster guys will come and go. But what about those big name guys? What do they do with them?
I think that's a good question too, because I've wondered that too. And You know, Wagner is not what he was. He was still a good linebacker.
For sure.
His impact was tremendous.
For sure.
The question is, you know, as you proceed, can he do that again? And that's what people asked of him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a guy, like some of these guys you don't put limitations on. So I think the one thing that I think that helps them with him is, I'm curious, like what I would want to know from them too is the plans for a guy like Jordan McGee, because he has some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with another year with him help. And, you know, so that, I think that's, because I think you're right. Like, I think if you got another guy there who can be more dynamic, I mean, that's always going to help, right? I don't know that Jordan McGee's that guy. I just know that he's a guy they liked a lot in training camp. And I'd be curious to see, you know, with him, if he had another year with Wagner, just how the impact on him.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Ertz goes, I think, you know, I think that what that also highlighted yesterday was the inability to get the ball outside. And, you know, the Eagles were pretty content giving up certain things.
Yeah.
I do think with Ertz, the question I always have for those, I would have for those, both those guys, and I think for sure that Wagner wants to keep playing. And again, because of his importance in there, I'd have no problem bringing him back.
Mm-hmm.
But with Ertz, I don't know what he wants to do. He was so valuable on third and fourth down in the red zone. For Jay and that,
you could clearly still play.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think the hard part is, I think what you need to see is more from, you know, I think if they needed to see, I don't know if it's more development, more production, whatever, from Ben Sinnott, mm-hmm. you know, the rookie, mm-hmm. to make that a decision like, okay, well, you got this guy. I don't know that they have that guy waiting in the wings. You know, I would go out and look for another one tight excuse me, in the draft, maybe later, just to get another guy in the fold, because, you know, just because. But Ertz, though, the importance to Daniels was high, not just from a leadership standpoint, but from a you-know-where-the-guy's-going-to-be standpoint on these clutch downs, and he came through on those downs so many times. You know, so I think what they need to do, more so than do anything with him, is to find more guys on the outside who can consistently do things opposite McLaurin.
Joined by John Kime.
Or in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
You need another dynamic guy on that offense, wherever it is.
Joined by John Kime, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. So you tweeted this yesterday, @John_Kime. Lattimore needs to keep his head in the game. This team has been good at keeping composure all year. A corner who's giving up big plays can't do this. And look, mm-hmm. Adam Peters and the staff, they knew what they were getting when they traded for Lattimore. There have been some high-profile skirmishes, especially with Mike Evans, you know, a guy who kind of plays on the edge. You saw that manifest itself yesterday with, you know, A.J. Brown. And look, I'm not blaming him for getting that penalty. I think they should have gotten offsetting penalties. It was weird.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Yeah.
Brown didn't get one, but what do you think behind closed doors they think of Lattimore, and what are the plans for him going forward? Is he like a long-term piece for this team?
Yeah, well, when they traded for him, it was never with just the intention of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was always with the next 2 years in mind. So I think the hard part to know with him is the impact, and the keeping your cool stuff is separate from how was he physically. And I don't think he was playing. I think his hamstring was fine, but what was the impact of all that missed time and the injury on itself? Like, there were a couple hamstring injuries. And so, you know, was he the guy that he's going to be the next 2 years, you know, or with an off season, you know, you get that thing completely right. You get to camp and you're feeling different. Are we going to see a different guy? Because that's what they're going to need to see if they really want to improve this defense. So I think that's, you had to always look at it with a long-term perspective, not just, I know the initial thought for everybody was, oh my gosh, they're going for it this year. But for them, it was also, yeah, but he's also got two more years on his deal. That was the key. I don't know that they would have made it just for this year. Certainly not at that price. So I think that's how you have to look at it. But my question would be, you know, again, what I tweeted is accurate, right? It's right. You know, you've got to keep your cool in those spots, because the play before, they were going at it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a continuation of that. And you can't at that position allow someone to get in your head. And, you know, like, the thing, they love that he's a strong competitor, excuse me, and he is. Like, he doesn't back down from anybody. I think that's good, but...
I think he's a net liability, to be honest.
Yeah, Bickle wants to get rid of him.
No, I think, listen, if it's, yeah, you can't be doing that if you're giving up these big plays, too. Like, that's just...
Well, he's just so grabby as a defender. Just how he's a physical corner.
He's an $18 million cap hit next year.
Yeah.
No, listen, the question, and this is what I don't know, is how they view these last few, these weeks for him yet, right? Because, again, if they think, well, the hamstring is only about, you know, it's good enough to get out there, but it's impacted his play, that's one thing. If they think, all right, there's a problem here, then that's another. Because then, you know, then you'd have to make a different decision. So because you can't have, you know, if you trade him for the next couple of years, you have to have him be better than what he was against the big-time guys.
Right. Just in terms of the offensive line, obviously having Cosme out hurt. But that's another unit where, I mean, they did make some additions this past season, but don't you think they're going to address that as well? Especially after watching what Philly's offensive line can do.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is if you want the model for what you have to do, it's the team you played yesterday. Like, the areas where they need to improve, it's what the Eagles do well, you know? And so, yes, I think if I'm pretty sure they'll be the same way. Like, that's a group you're always trying to improve, always. And so, yes, I think when they need to get more production out of the run game with their backs, and that's part of it. So I think, I think they would look to do that for sure.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Been a fun ride.
Yep.
Good talking. John Kai from ESPN.com.
It's been a lot of fun, man.
All right, we'll get you on again soon. Thank you, John. Really appreciate it every week.
Coming up next.
I always enjoy it, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Coming up next, we will tackle already what we think they need to do. The next step to get to the next level. What's the first thing they got to do? First thing they have to address. 800-636-1067. What do you think the biggest offseason need is for this Washington Commanders team?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So we want to change the conversation a little bit and talk about what we saw on the field and what they need to do to get to that Eagles level. What's the biggest need in the offseason for the Commanders to take the next step? 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the Rude, on the MGM National Harbor listener lines.
Well,
I just was looking during the break at the salary.
Yeah.
So right now, top five salaries. I'm not going to go through them all. Top five. Daron Payne is number one at $26.1 million. That's his cap hit next year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Terry McLaurin at $25.5 million. Jonathan Allen, $22.4 million. Marshawn Lattimore, $18 million. And then Frankie Louvu at $12.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the top five highest paid guys, at least according to this, mm-hmm. in terms of cap space, are defense. And while the defense was an issue, what is the biggest offseason need?
Well, if you look,
I kind of want to get that number two receiver. I guess I'm an all offense guy.
No, well,
I want to help Jaden.
If you look at the what the Eagles have, all right, they've got a home run hitter, Hall of Fame running back.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Washington does not. Mm-hmm. They've got maybe the best offensive line in football. Washington does not. They've got two really good defensive tackles. All right, really good, including one who might be the best in the league. Washington does not. They've got a shutdown corner who's young. Actually, got two.
Mm-hmm.
Two shutdown corners. It's not like they just overhauled it in 1 year.
Right.
They've been building this for the last few years. Now, they made some huge additions this past year because they brought in different coaches and Saquon.
Right.
But I think it starts with the interior, man, both on the offensive line and the defensive line.
To dovetail
and yes, they
JP.
Do need they do need more outside help and receivers, but they didn't have really a problem scoring points. I think they need to be able to control the ball even more and make stops.
I think they need to be younger and more explosive all over the place on offense. I agree. They need a number two wideout. They need some youth in the tight end room. I think they need to completely revamp the running back room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously they don't have a Saquon Barkley type or a Jahmyr Gibbs type. That's what Adam Peters needs to find. He needs to find like the young version of Austin Eckler in his prime. He needs to add that element to this offense to help out
Jaden.
They
do need that. But we scored 30 points a game. We need Jalen Carter. We need a Jalen Carter. That changes everything.
So do you give up on Payne or Allen and these huge cap hits that they have?
I don't care. We have to figure it out. They need their version of Jalen Carter. They got to go find one. You know, Johnny Newton is a step in the right direction, but he's a third of the player Jalen Carter is, maybe a quarter. They need to find the best. That's their number one need. They scored 30 points a game with talent that most people disrespect outside of Terry and Jaden.
By salary, Payne and Allen should be delivering more.
I like them, whatever. They're not good enough to get to that next level.
Well, that's where Peters goes to them and says,
that's the number one need.
You're going to rework your deals or you're not going to be here.
That's the number one need. And then I would say number two would be still a high-end corner that's not going to get a penalty every time it's thrown their way. Because we got a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up on Lattimore because we just don't know how limited he was because of the hamstring.
All I know is he's a grabby guy.
I think he's always going to be physical.
He grabs you the whole way down.
He's big time under the microscope.
Yeah, he is.
The next season.
He is.
I just need somebody
who's
better.
But I don't think they're going to give up Lattimore.
I don't think so either.
They probably won't, but they need someone better. They just do.
Well, Drab mentioned this yesterday at Honor Brewing, and it was an awesome time at Honor Brewing. Great place to watch the game. It could be a Josh Norman-like acquisition. Like, they picked up Josh Norman, and it just was a bust.
Didn't work.
Yeah, I think it's too early to say it's a bust.
Maybe he's a zone corner.
I know that they scored a bunch of points. I know they scored a lot of points, and that's great. It's great to score 29 points per game, but I can't do another year of the number two wideout is either Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, or Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah.
They're going to have to elevate that spot because Terry, he's doing an amazing job. He can't do it all on his own.
True.
And you look at the really good teams in the league outside of the weird Chiefs. They do it with old Travis Kelce. It's weird.
Xavier Worthy's pretty good.
He's coming on, but they do it with multiple weapons on offense. They don't just have a guy and then a bunch of cast-offs. They've layered talent around their quarterbacks like they've done in Detroit, like they've done in Philadelphia. It's not just Terry McLaurin and a cast-off from off the street.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, they need more.
You need some more explosive pieces, especially the tight end room. Like,
but
I know Sinnott was drafted high. Like, he needs to show something in year two.
Yeah.
It can't just be like a silent year from Ben Sinnott in year two. He's got to take a step there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Ertz. I don't know if Ertz wants to retire or...
It would be great if Ertz came back, but...
But like you said, they drafted a guy at that position in the second round.
Right.
I mean, they're expecting
big... That's some high draft capital.
Yeah, they're expecting big things from him.
Right.
Now, maybe they overdrafted him and they don't really think he's going to turn into that. But,
right.
He's got to turn into your every down starting
tight
end.
Absolutely. He's got to be the guy that catches like 50-plus balls in year two to help out Jaden.
All right. You want to bat the calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to Gary. I don't even think it's close that we need a D tackle number one. Gary, what's up?
Good morning, Junks. Thanks for taking my call. Yep. Yeah, I was talking to the producer. Yeah, it's definitely the defensive tackles. I mean, the one constant on this defense over the last 4 or 5 years has been they've been terrible against the run. And who are the two guys who have been here every year? That's Deron Payne, and that is Jonathan Allen. And those cap numbers that you talked about, those cap numbers are ridiculous. These guys aren't playing anywhere near their cap numbers. So I would try to move on from them, see if somebody would give you a couple of draft picks, because I think that they need draft capital. I know we have all this cap space with the free agents, but that gets eaten up really, really quickly. Well, they got 28 guys or 29 guys that they got to put on this roster. So I think they have to go defensive tackle. You can't win in this league consistently when you can't stop the run. And they've been bottom of the league for many years, and Deron Payne and Allen have been there. As far as Lattimore is concerned, listen, this is the guy that you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that's going to give personal fouls. He's going to be a grumpy guy on the side, and he's not going to give you 17 games. If you look at New Orleans, the last couple of 2 or 3 years, he has not played anywhere near a full season. This is the guy that you have. I agree with whoever said, hey, let's try to get rid of this guy, okay? I think you can find a corner in the league, in the draft, or free agency to bring in somebody that I think Lattimore is on the downside of his career. You say, hey, let him get healthy in the offseason. Look at the games played in New Orleans over the last couple of years. He's that player. He's that guy that's going to give you about 10 games a year, and in between that, he's going to be on SportsCenter because he's getting in fights all the time. Okay.
Well, that's,
as far as the offense is good.
That's been his MO in the past. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Like, Adam Peters knew that when he acquired him. He knew everything that came with Marshawn Lattimore when he picked him up. And hopefully have to hope it's his health that's kind of that's making him be a grabby player.
It's hard to give up on a guy when you gave up some pretty high draft picks.
Right. Like, you want that
and
thing
you're just
to work
burning
out.
Them.
And
yes.
if it doesn't work out, that's going to be my first eyebrow raise at Adam Peters. Like, did you really need to give up draft capital?
I thought it was a good swing. It turns out
it's a decent swing.
I thought it was a miss.
But if he doesn't show measured improvement in 2025, that's going to be a swing and a miss.
Yeah. I agree. But I think it was a good swing. Like, go for it. You need to help.
Right.
Went for big money guy. Just, in my opinion, didn't work out.
He's right, though, about being on the field. If you look at his first five seasons in the league, he played anywhere between 13 to 16 games. Mm-hmm. 2022, 7. 2023, 10. And then this season, 9.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, and hamstring injuries, that can dog a player throughout their entire career.
Maybe he's just not your shutdown corner that you could put on an island and shut down the best receivers, but maybe he's just there for depth. Right. Maybe they do go out and get
another
guy.
Well,
that's
an expensive depth piece.
It is, but maybe they are realizing, you know what,
sometimes,
he's not the player we thought he was.
Doesn't matter what you pay the guy. If they're not good enough,
right?
Who cares? You're paying him $18 million. He sucks. Not that good. Same thing with some other players.
I think it's too early to make that call.
You can't just say, we can't do that because we're paying them all that money. Well, it was a bad contract.
Well, maybe you can rework the contract, but it's more the draft picks that you gave up.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I mean, that's spilled
milk.
That's
big. That's big.
You spilled the milk already.
So Allen's only a $6 million dead cap hit.
Unlike he may John, be dead. John makes plays, but as a whole, I'm not pointing a finger at Payne and Allen. I'm just saying, as a whole, we don't stop the run, and we haven't for years, consistently.
Yeah.
And it by far was the biggest issue on this team.
I know when Allen used to come on the show regularly, and you would look at some of these statistics in terms of stopping the run, and I'm not sophisticated enough to know this part of football. They'd point to, like, the double teams. Mm-hmm. And the guys behind them got to clean up the tackles.
I mean, Jalen, look, Saquon Carter's Barkley. Double teamed.
Saquon Barkley, I know, but he doesn't necessarily have a ton of tackles. You know, Zach Bond behind him making plays. I totally agree there. But look, that Saquon Barkley play, he's got two guys that should be able to tackle him.
Missed
on
tackles.
The edge.
Yes.
We also had guys falling down, tripping over themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was Chin's got to be able to make a tackle.
And
there.
Who was the corner right there?
Maybe it was Sanders still.
Might have been Martin.
I think it was Quan Martin.
I think it was Quan Martin. Yeah. I mean, you got to make a tackle there.
No, but even before that, I think Bobby Wagner fell down, and then somebody tripped over him.
I think it was Fowler was, like, trying to make the play, and then I think he knocked two or three guys down like bowling pins.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a weird chain
reaction. Just a disaster.
It was a disaster.
But the point is, they went outside because we don't have speed in our linebackers to get outside.
I know, but
other than Luvu,
if Quinn and Martin do their job, it's a 15-yard gain, not a 60-yard gain.
I agree.
But eventually... True, but eventually Barkley's going to get that 60-yard
gain. Yeah, he's going to pop that thing.
That's kind of been his career.
That's what he's going to do.
Little singles, home run. That's kind of what he does. All right, let's go to Kevin in D.C. Kevin, what's up?
De'Ron Payne wanted out. Jonathan Allen wanted him out. Let's get him out. There's nowhere in the world you playing against a guy with a bad back and one leg, and you can't get no pressure. That was terrible yesterday. Forget the turnovers. That defensive line was terrible. Jonathan Allen and Payne need to go.
Right. Well, Deron wasn't even there yesterday.
Right.
Just so you know.
I don't think Deron's going anywhere based on just the salary.
Let's go to Derek, Baltimore. Derek, what's up?
Yeah, I agree with the previous caller about the defensive line, but also the backfield. If you notice yesterday, nobody made plays on the ball. There was no interceptions. If you go to the prior week, they were making plays on the ball, and that turned the entire game around. You know, yesterday, all they were doing was chasing receivers, and none of them would turn around, look at the ball, and make a play on the ball. None of them.
Well, that's got to change. Spinning them like
they're also playing in weird zones. Like, Drab and I were watching an Honor Brewing, and Goddard just found a seam.
He was wide open.
He just found a seam in the zone where there wasn't a commander within 5 yards of him.
He was wide open.
Well, look, if you take a – kind of a bigger perspective on the playoffs and look at the defense. It's not like they pitched a shutout against Tampa. Tampa actually played well. They had a couple of, you know, botched snaps. That was a game where I think they only had the ball 7 times.
Dude, the defense was the weak part of the team all year.
The Lions put up over 500 yards against them, and you just saw a 55-point game. Now, a lot of that is from turnovers, but the defense has a long ways to go.
That's why.
But they came from like last.
Why do we have this infatuation with another receiver over that?
I just want to help.
It's just crazy.
It's just
He scored 30 points a game.
I just want to follow the model of some of these teams where they'll get a quarterback and then they do as much as they can to help that quarterback because it's the most important thing.
All right. He did pretty well.
Yeah.
He did pretty well.
Yeah, but
well,
it could be easier for him if he has better talent.
Okay. But you know what would be easier for him? If we didn't give up a touchdown every drive.
That would help too.
That makes it a lot easier on your quarterback.
I'm always going to come on the side of offense first. You know me. You know who you're talking to.
I'm kind of right there. Okay. Well, I'm kind of on team cakes there.
I want to outscore everybody.
But they can,
but they can address that.
They can address that as well.
You know, sure. It's easier to outscore them when you stop giving up touchdowns.
It depends on how you prioritize
it. You know what's better than scoring 28? Scoring 32.
I mean, it's
that's
not like,
what I right. want.
Well, we needed 70 yesterday.
Okay, well,
we needed like a million. You know?
Okay, but some of those turnovers... And some of it, Suki, were from offensive players that we don't really
forget about
expect
yesterday.
To be around.
We all saw what happened yesterday. We gave them the ball, and we couldn't stop anybody. But one theme throughout the year was generally we give up too many points, and we had to score 30-plus to win. We got to get better defensively. We made do with bums. You know, because my general philosophy is you can scheme guys open.
I don't want to make do. I want top offensive weapons.
I want to make a tackle.
All over the place.
You want to make... I want to make a tackle.
Okay. You go make a tackle. I'm going to try to outscore you.
All right. Well, how'd that work
yesterday? Different ways to skin a cat.
Yeah. I want to make a friggin' tackle. I have trust that Jaden will find a way to lead this team to in the end zone.
I don't want to rely on De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus as the number two receiver. Yeah. And you know what? Adam Peters doesn't either. Because he's going to look at De'Ami Brown and say... Here's your suitcase. Bye-bye. Free agent. Not re-signing you.
It just kind of depends.
Same with Zacchaeus.
It just depends on... They've got a ton of free agents.
Yeah. They got a lot. Yeah.
It's just how you prioritize what order you want to go out and pluck guys.
Right.
Because it's not like they're drafting 5 or 6 or 7.
That's the other...
They're drafting 29.
That's the other point is that they do have a ton of needs.
Yes,
and that's why I describe... Sorry, I'm a huge fan. But I said it at the time... It's somewhat fluky what we did. We ran historically hot on fourth down. No one's ever done what we did on fourth down this year.
Ugh, I just realized I have to start looking at mocks now. Mock drafts.
Zach Kruger pointed this out. I didn't even know this was a thing. He sent me a message that contested touchdowns in the end zone. We had 12. You know what like the previous record was or average? 5. We ran historically hot on that. We ran so hot in some areas. Hard to duplicate. We need a lot of help. Thank God we have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, though. That's going to keep us in the mix. But outside of that, we need a lot of help. A lot of help. And that's why we're having this argument to begin with. Because I think my argument is valid for defensive tackle. And there is some validity, obviously, that you need... Better than some of these guys at 2 and 3 receiver, you know, better than a 100-year-old tight end, obviously. And but the offensive line, I ain't even talking about that.
But when you couple the draft with free agency, you can address all that stuff.
No, some of it. You can't address all
of
it. No,
of course not. I mean, it's not like the Eagles were built in a day.
Yeah.
But it's you're drafting 29th. Okay, you're going to have a late pick in every round, unless they've got some that they've traded for, but... It's not like you're going to be able to pluck the best guy at a position.
The good news is, and never lose sight of it, we have a Hall of Famer at quarterback.
Well,
never lose sight of that. But
it helps to have a quarterback, no doubt.
But there's still a lot of pieces.
They've got a lot of holes, no doubt, and they're going to try and fill as many as they can.
800-636-1067. We'll continue this conversation here on The Junkies. Welcome back. On a Football Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Talking about this Commanders team. Amazing season. 12-5 in the regular season. Win a couple of postseason games. Make it all the way to the NFC Championship game. Fall to the Eagles, who advanced the Super Bowl to take on the Chiefs, which is a rematch from a couple seasons ago. What do the Commanders need to do that nobody wanted
outside of Philadelphia and Kansas City?
What do the Commanders need to do to get where those teams are? And where do you start? I agree with EB. There's a lot of things that they have to do. I mean, when we open the season before this magical or fluky or however you want to call it ride, we were like, oh my God, they need to improve the offensive line, the defensive line, the receivers. I mean, the secondary. Where does it all start? You're saying defensive line. Maybe you can sell me on that. I know I said wide receiver at first, and I'm kind of with Cakes that I just want to give Jaden everything possible to help him out. I looked at the PFF grades. Jonathan Allen, this was overall, ranked 72 in defensive interior defensive lineman. Jerron Payne this year ranked 86. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at them against the runs.
That's not just, is that just in, amongst defensive tackles?
Yeah, interior defensive line.
So that's not just position. Defensive players.
Correct. No, that's their position.
At his position.
Right.
So you're talking about, if they have basically two starters, you're talking about literally the bottom third. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's including
bottom.
It's including
the bottom of the bottom.
It's including
the
a lot of,
bottom.
Yeah, it's including rotational players.
Yeah. So it's 32 teams. Yeah. If you have two starters each, 64 plus.
Yeah, it includes rotational
guys. So 75, 80, 90. So
I'd say bottom third.
Yeah, it's not great.
But then when you go to just run defense grades, this was the rankings.
It's also PFF.
Yes, this was the rankings against the run according to PFF. Sheldon Day was the best for the Commanders. Jalen Holmes was second best. Daron Payne third. Johnny Newton fourth. John Allen fifth. John Allen was ranked in the hundreds when it came to just rush defense. So, I mean, I like John, and I think last week against Detroit, he made some plays.
He popped last week.
He had a play or two yesterday, but you just need more. I'm not pointing it at any one guy.
You can't pay those two guys that incredible amount of money and not get strong production.
No, because you can pay a lot less money for that same level of production.
Well, look, they
went out. You don't need to pay multiple
Sheldon
millions.
Sheldon Day came in and did equally as well,
right?
Or if not better.
Well, Adam
he was graded out as their best against the run of interior defensive linemen.
Adam Peters is going to crunch those numbers and realize, well, this is not sustainable.
Of course.
Can't keep pouring $40-plus million into my interior defensive line.
That's why I think it'll be insane for him to use his top pick on a receiver. Do we need to upgrade a receiver?
Again,
sure.
I'm not saying you have to use your top pick on a receiver, and I definitely wouldn't do it on. I mean, they're picking late enough where a running back they loved is there at 29, maybe. But I'm not saying you have to use your top pick on a receiver.
Just go out and get one.
Use a middle round pick, a third or fourth round pick that you love. If you love that guy, Terry McLaurin was found in the third round. You can find good players.
Well, you can go out and get a free agent. Case. You don't have to. You only have seven picks in the draft.
Right.
No one's saying.
And three of them are seventh rounders.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a one, a two, a three, and a five.
Right.
You've got no six, no four, no six, three sevens. You can't completely do an overhaul of the draft.
They'll plug holes with the free agency money too.
Right.
No, they will. Of course. No one's saying you got to come back with Diami, Oz, Jamison Crowder, and you know whoever, Noah Brown. Nobody's saying that.
Man, Terry doing some heavy lifting with that cast of names around him.
But trust me, the first thing they got to do is figure out how to
stop
somebody.
That's fine. If you want to use pick number 29 on a big fatty from Alabama or LSU that can plug the run, and you're going to pay them a fifth of what you're paying.
I don't care where he's from.
You're paying them a fifth of what you're paying Payne and Allen, maybe a tenth. I'm fine with that plan. But you also have to get overall better and younger and more explosive on offense.
No doubt. Maybe, but this is what I don't know. None of us are defensive coordinators. What if the problem isn't Allen and Payne in the middle with the run? It's the fact that their defensive ends, Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong, aren't good against the run, and teams expose that. Like,
I think also there's a problem too that our linebackers. I mean, Luvu's fast,
right? Maybe he's terrible against the run. I don't know. I mean, he obviously flashes in games and makes splashy plays and is good pressure on the quarterback. But you know, there's three levels to it, and I don't know if it's all on just the defensive interior.
I agree.
Maybe it's not.
But I think it starts
it's a
up
unit.
Front.
It's a
I think
unit.
It starts up front. And I just didn't think that
they need
those
to get
guys
younger,
up front disrupt
they
enough.
Need to get younger and more athletic on the defensive side of the football.
But maybe you want a game wrecker on the outside who's okay at the run. Fowler was a nice surprise this year. You know, getting a double-digit sacks. He had a good season. But maybe overall he's not that great. I don't know.
Look, they're going to go out and make some changes. You have to trust Adam Peters. He knows what they need.
I know we're just guessing at it, though. I would focus on the defense first.
No, I think they will.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they won't, but they're gonna add parts to both sides.
I would love to have Devontae Smith as my number two or somebody like that. Of course you want that. We just, you're not there yet.
I mean,
maybe we will have one next year.
They might think that the best pick at 29 is an offensive tackle.
And I don't hate that, to protect Jaden, to protect
they need that player
on the field.
They need that too. That's the point. They need a lot. All right, let's go to Susan, West Virginia. Susan, what's up?
Hey, Junk.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. I just want to say I'm grateful that we made it this far. I mean, with a rookie quarterback. And it just shows that good organization is what we needed. Mm-hmm. And I hope Dan is watching this.
Well, apparently he's miserable.
That was the best takeaway of the weekend, that Dan Snyder is a miserable, petty man living over in England and on his yacht. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so miserable. He's
such a jerk. Like, they broke a really good article by Don Venata, and I forget who other.
I think it was Seth Wickersham.
Yeah, I forget who the other co-author was. But even like when the deal was basically done,
right?
He was holding.
He's still
out.
Fighting it,
right?
Yeah. He like at two in the morning.
He wouldn't give up like his
morning.
Bank. He wouldn't give up his bank account number get $6 billion wired to him
because he did it against his will. He didn't want to do it
when the NFL was going to announce the change in ownership the next day.
Right.
God, he was fighting it.
I'm so happy that he's miserable.
Let's go to Chris, Upper Marlboro. Chris, last call before the break. Chris.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, EB, so you said fluky. I got another F word for you for the season.
Yeah.
Foundational. All right. This is the beginning, okay? We got 10, 12, 15 years with this kid. Everyone sounds like the
totally
house
agree.
On fire right now, okay? All right.
No, they got so the most
like,
important
like
position.
The Caps did.
They got the
most
important.
The Caps did this past off season, right? They're gonna be a free agent destination now, like they've never been before.
True.
Defensive guys are gonna want to come play with Jaden Daniels if they know these guys are gonna want to come play here now. So this is a cup half full situation kind of guys. Okay, so that's true. Okay, let's keep it a little bit more positive. Okay, I know they got their doors blown off yesterday, and it feels kind of crappy, but like think about the future. Okay, this is a spot people are going to want to end up, and so I think I'm with Cakes. I've heard rumblings that DK Metcalf wants out of Seattle. Like, why not go get that guy? Then you have your own AJ Brown.
Sure, if you could get DK Metcalf, I'm all for it.
Okay,
but that still doesn't stop the run.
Okay. Foundational, guys. Foundational. That's the F word for this team. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I like that.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to call us in the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Doc Walker will join us coming up at 8:20 for our colleague check-in. Keep it here on The Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.